This is a replay of the Tuesday night, October 17th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings unless sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We've got 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, all we ask is that it be inconsequential for the most part. Well, when it comes to food, maybe it's not inconsequential to you. But I was going to open, because last night I was seeing so many stories on how restaurant prices are far eclipsing inflation rates. And I find that to be so true. What you're paying for food, true in the grocery store, but even more true when you're eating out, is astronomical. But then today, thanks to good old James, a flurry of articles on recalls. Now, I'd say a dozen of them. Most of them, frankly, I don't care because mislabeling and there is accidentally soy in it or accidentally a peanut in it. Yeah, I realize if these are your problems, this is serious stuff. I get that. But for most of us, that's not a terrible concern. It's when you read about the bone fragments in the smoked sausage, or when you read about the plastic that doesn't come off the Kraft singles. Well, that's when I start to wonder. Yeah, and the Kraft one really amazed me, because apparently they came up with new and better packaging. Isn't that always the start of a disaster? And I can't tell you how many things, particularly frozen food things, where they're now packaging it in such a way. Yeah, there was a cream spinach I liked. I forget who makes it, and I wouldn't tell you if it did. But it used to be perfectly fine. Now it has an exploding feature, no matter what. Yeah, so as long as I don't care that the walls of the microwave oven are covered in something green and slimy, then it's just fine. But I think, what was wrong with it? It was the perfect food. Well, yeah, so here's the Kraft. Everybody eats Kraft cheese. I mean, it's hard to miss. Maybe you don't regularly, but the idea that you've never had it, I don't buy it. Everybody has. And, of course, Kraft singles are everywhere. So is it now that they're recalling 83,000 cases of Kraft singles, American processed cheese slices. Mm-mm, good. Yeah, well, so here is the deal. The wrapper on the individual slices. Yeah, this new redesigned wrapping. You see, as soon as I see new and improved, I know it's the e-ticket to hell. Well, they redesigned the wrapping on the individual slices. They say to make them easier to open. Oh yeah, I can open them, but what happens is you don't know that you didn't take off all the plastic. And apparently, part of the wrapper sticks to the cheese and is causing consumers to choke. Well, at the very least, I don't know about you, even if I wasn't choking, if I discovered that in my mouth, that'd be the end of the meal. I'd be done. Yeah, I'm like a kid that way, no doubt about it. And actually every way when it comes to eating. But nonetheless, the number one complaint to cheese in the past had been the inability to easily open the wrapper. Now, by the way, I can't admit to an extensive degree of experience with this, but never did I think I just can't open those cheese wrappers. But apparently Kraft decided they'd fix that. Yes, well, so they now have the perma wrapper sticks right to the cheese, and it's so thin you don't even see it. Yeah, until you're swallowing it. So this is, as they say, a precaution. Yes, they say it's a temporary issue developed in one of the wrapping machines. Really? It's 83,000 packages? And it's one of the wrapping machines. Boy, they're making a lot of cheese in one individual machine. But nonetheless, they're saying it's possible that there's a thin strip of individual film remaining on the slice after the wrapper has been removed. They received several customer complaints. I'll bet they do. As well as 6 complaints of choking or gagging. No major issues have been or injuries have been reported to date. But then again, if it was the worst possible scenario, they wouldn't be around to complain. So this is 16-ounce Kraft Singles American Pasteurized Prepared Cheese product. I don't know, somehow it doesn't sound like cheese to me, but nonetheless, with an individual code, and you can read about that. And the use date is January 24. So basically, if you bought it now, you could have it on your shelf for quite a while. It's also in 3-pound multi-packs of Kraft Singles. So if you purchase the products, they say discard them. And I'm thinking, at these prices? Or return them to the store where they purchased them for exchange or refund. Yes, do not discard, return. Of course, by now you don't have the receipt, so I'm not sure how that goes. But yeah, I'll tell you what, if you're trying to lose weight, these stories, and again, I've got dozens of them, would definitely be a real asset to losing weight, because after you're done reading them all, you're never going to eat again. 888-876-5593 is 8888-RALEIGH. And an update on Bruce from Elwood and a surgery. So everything got taken out, everything good. How's it going?
Oh, Raleigh, it's a saga now.
Oh, no.
Well, I had the bowel resection.
Yes.
Then I went to the therapy place, and I was doing therapy, and I was doing really good.
Yes.
And I started going downhill.
What?
And downhill. And I got really, really sick.
Oh, no.
Sunday and then Monday morning, I mean, I could hardly get out of bed. So,
oh, no.
This was another facility on the other side of our town. Anyway, they called the local fire department. So they came and took me to the closest hospital, which is not the hospital that the surgery was done at.
Uh-oh.
So they dropped me off there. I spent 12 hours laying in an emergency room at that hospital yesterday.
Oh, God.
Just on a gurney. Well, they did some tests. They started giving me some fluids and stuff. And then they had to make a deal with this other hospital across town so I could get transferred to where the surgeon was. So then they transferred me last night to that hospital, and I'm here now, and they've been doing all kinds of blood tests and everything, and it looks like there's something growing in one of my blood cultures.
Well, that may be, and that's bad enough. But apart from that, my concern is when you're talking about bowel resection, hopefully they're investigating whether there's any leakage.
Yeah, well, the surgeon looked at it today, and they've done a couple of CAT scans of it. So.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Well, whatever they need to do, that's the most important thing, to make sure that you don't have a perforation somewhere, because, man, that would be the e-ticket to real sickness.
Yeah, well, I'm to the point now where I don't have any pain or anything. I just have no energy. Mm. I start eating, and by the time I finish eating, I can hardly breathe.
Oh, sure. No, there's clearly something going on. But the question is, you know, whatever's in your blood, some pathogen, obviously they have to narrow down what that is. But then the real question is why? And that's what's worrying me from your discussion.
Yeah.
So I hope they're thoroughly investigating. CAT scans are good, but there's probably more they need to be doing to make damn sure you don't have a problem. Oh, man, I hate to hear this, Bruce. This is not what you needed.
It's been a real saga, so.
Yeah.
And, it's causing bladder issues.
Well, of course it is.
I'm probably going to get sent home tomorrow, and I'm not going back to the rehab. I'm going home.
I talked to you about that before. You know, I'm a firm believer in absolutely private patient rooms only, because I don't think what you're describing is hospital-borne infection, but you want to avoid that any way you can. They say they're going to dismiss you. Well, they shouldn't release you until they know what's causing this.
Yeah, I know.
That's the important thing.
Because, we'll see what happens tomorrow, but it's just...
Oh, man. Man, I hate to hear this.
I spent 12 hours in the ER just sitting there listening to total chaos.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, thank God at least you're in the facility where the surgeon is, so you're not dealing with that bureaucratic mess as far as that goes.
Yeah, that's what they want. That's why they wanted to wait till I could get transferred here.
Right.
Back to where the surgery was done.
Right. But they absolutely need to ascertain why this is happening, or they shouldn't release you.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Oh, man. Well, you sound good, and like you say, you're not in pain, but you have absolutely no strength whatsoever, which I would expect.
No strength, and I have trouble. Like I'm losing breathing.
Yeah.
I can be out of breath and panting.
Right.
And they put the oximeter on me, and I'm at 97.
Right. Right, but there can be other reasons. There can be other reasons that's happening.
Yeah, it could be that the blood's just not absorbing the oxygen.
I want to know what's in that blood. Now, the culture they took where they say something is growing, some pathogen, when are they going to get the result on that?
I think tomorrow.
Okay, good. Good.
Yeah.
Well, that'll tell them a lot, and I'm sure they're not going to make a decision until they know that. But, of course, the problem with tests is you only get the results for what you test for. So if you've got an elusive problem and you're not testing for the right things, you don't discover it.
Yeah.
And so, fortunately, you're in the right place. But when you go home, if you were to have to call 911 from home, can you be taken back to the same hospital?
Yes.
Okay. All right. All right, so at least you're not going to go through the bureaucratic mess again.
No. It was just because of where I was at the rehab.
Yes.
Now, they took seven tubes of blood this morning.
Yeah.
With the running cultures on seven cultures.
No, I know that sounds excessive, but really it's not. That's not terribly surprising to me at all. But yeah, hopefully they're doing all the obvious, and hopefully that's gonna show something. But again, I'm very concerned about some form of perforation or tear, because that would explain it easily. So I hope they've completely eliminated that. All right. Well, geez, I hate to hear this. You know, like I say, they call it the practice of medicine because they're still practicing.
Yes. That's for sure.
Sorry they're practicing on you, but you're sounding good, and that's good. So hopefully you'll get some sleep, as much sleep as you can get in an institution like that. But if you don't mind, if you can, call me tomorrow night and let me know.
I'll try to.
All right, good deal.
You guys take care.
Yeah, we'll keep you in our prayers. Thanks, Bruce. Appreciate it. All right, so Bruce stays on the prayer line. I just hate those things when they don't know. So hopefully they will know before they release him. All right, so 888-876-5593. We're going to get to Lisa in Dundee. Ooh, she saw Dr. Terror's House of Horrors, I think. All right, but I will, by the way, mention the Sea Crane Company. And if you're a radio lover, well, you probably know about ccradio.com. Bob Crane should be knighted, because every radio he makes fixes the problem of lousy reception. Years ago, Bob, a radio lover, was like the rest of us, just disgusted with the state of reception of both AM and FM, and said, I can do better. And he did. All of his radios have that distinction. They have just terrific AM and FM reception. But in addition to that, they have a load of features. And one of the things I want you to look at is the CC Skywave SSB2. It's the newest edition of CC Skywave radios. A single sideband, the ultimate companion in emergency radio. You know, it fits in the palm of your hand. It weighs 8 ounces. Like I say, the reception is excellent. And given the size of the unit, the audio is really sharp and clear. But it gives you access to things your smartphone won't give you, like emergency single sideband transmissions, which some folks will say not getting as much of them anymore. But, major event happens, you'll hear all sorts of things. But more to the point, day-to-day, you've got NOAA weather and a weather alert, and you've got AM and FM. And, with a sideband, you can also hear ham radio operators from all over the world. So take a look at the CC Skywave SSB2. It's really a radio lover's travel radio. You'll love it. I like mine, that's for sure. You can call to order if you can't go online. Anytime, they'll answer all your questions. And they'll mail you a hard catalog, hard copy of the catalog if you want it. And you can call them at 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. But if you can go online, man, the world is your oyster. Go to ccradio.com. By the way, I always say it like that. You can also go to ccrane.com, but easy to remember, ccradio.com. And you will see, oh, the beautiful CC Skywave SSB2 and a lot of other things that I know will float your boat. The only problem you're going to have is there's got to be something that you absolutely can't do without. I know that's always the case with me. ccradio.com, 800-522-8863. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
Logged on the internet on Tuesday at 2, singing too loud, la la shaky doo shaky doo. Wednesday at 3, there was an email from me saying, hey baby, do a program with me. Thursday at 4, he came a knocking at my door, singing,
hey baby, I'm the internet man. You just tell me how you want it, and I'll load it in your RAM. Plug it in the morning, keep it in all day long. You'll never need a floppy with a hard drive on. I can activate your mouse, I can amplify your tone, and if you got a modem, hook it to your telephone. Because, hey baby, I'm the internet man. Can you believe that? And then he says, now another fella's call you, just say I got you jammed. Oh, can you imagine? Well, my heart began to thump and my mind began to fly, and I knew I wasn't dealing with no ordinary guy. So while he wasn't talking, I was thinking up my plan to let my fingers do some browsing on the internet. Man, singing, hey lolly lolly, hey lolly lolly, hey lolly lolly, get it any way you can. Right? So I plug it in the morning, keep it in all day long. I never need a puppy with a hard drive on. I can get it.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Well, Barry in New Hampshire wanted to hear it, so now you had to as well. That's Mary Wilson, Internet Man. Yes, 1999 on Great American. It did not chart. Mary, of course, a one-hit wonder, to say the least, with Telephone Man, and sadly died in a car wreck in I guess it was about 2001, so that's why we haven't heard anything from her. But apart from Telephone Man, if her voice sounds remotely familiar, she did a ton of jingles. In fact, that's what she was doing in Dallas when Jim Rutledge of the band that did DOA, which is Blood Rock, right? He found her and turned her on to Boomer Castleman, who ultimately got her to GRT Records. And I think it was Boomer's mother who actually said, you know, that Telephone Man, that'll work. And in fact, it did. So always listen to your mother. But there you have it. You will not hear Internet Man again, I hope. And but yeah, you probably never realized how many double entendres there were in basic computer peripherals. Now you know. So we get to Lisa in Dundee, going to find out about Dr. Terror's House of Horrors, still one of my favorites. But of course, having only seen about 5 movies, it's not a large group to compare. But nonetheless, I still thought it was great. All right, so we'll pick it up there and hopefully talk to you two on WGN Radio.
Ooh.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Little Bitty Pretty One. It was Julie in Atlanta who asked for the hit version, which of course was Thurston Harris, 1957. Bobby Day wrote it, and he released it on Class, but it did absolutely nothing. A week after he released it, Thurston Harris came out on Aladdin with it, and it went to number 2 on the R&B charts and number 6 on the pop charts, and when you listen to them side by side, you know why. It's a much better record. And you'd think, wow, I'm going to hear more from Thurston Harris. Well, maybe not. Actually, he did a few other songs, including a cover of Bobby Day's "Over and Over." And a couple years later, he wrote something and did it. It was the only thing that sort of charted. But I should let you hear a little about that before I tell you the rest about Thurston. But this was an almost charter, so to speak. And that came out a year after a little bit Pretty One, and it did well on the R&B charts. It certainly got into the top 20, I think number 14 or so. Did not do well on the pop charts, I think number 57, and then that was it. And so Thurston Harris kind of disappears. Of course, Bobby Day does very well in terms of Los Angeles R&B, to say the least. But so what happened with Thurston Harris? And I had wondered about that for a while because I thought, you know, he should be the denizens of, among the denizens of L.A. R&B, the Jesse Belvins, et cetera, and so forth. And, being on Aladdin, he had a major label contract as far as that goes. Well, unfortunately, the story was he was from Indianapolis originally, and he wound up in Los Angeles as a young man. I say that because I don't think he was a teen. I think he'd just gotten out of his teens because he was born in 1931 in Indianapolis. But anyhow, he gets to L.A., and it looks promising at first. So why did he suddenly drop out of sight? He did a few more singles that went absolutely nowhere. But next you heard extended homelessness, bouts of institutionalization, work occasionally as a tour bus guide deal. And the problem was alcoholism and drug abuse. Yeah, not any stranger there to these stories, to say the least. And a lot of his unhappiness was directly self-inflicted, to say the least. He died of a heart attack in 1990. And even this is questionable because some accounts say he died in a rest home. Others say he died at his sister's home. But the sad part is that absolutely nothing was said of it officially, because no one by that time remembered or cared. That could almost be true about Bobby Day, by the way. You don't hear much about him, but unfortunately with Bobby Day, he died fairly young from prostate cancer. But nonetheless, Julie wanted Thurston Harris, and now she's got Thurston Harris to say the least. All right, 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh, and Lisa is in Dundee. So you saw Dr. Terror's House of Horrors.
I did, and I'm assuming it was the 1965 version with,
yes,
Christopher Lee. That one, okay.
Yeah, it's the only one I know.
Okay, well, there's one from 1943.
No, I saw this when it came out, and I was not that young, so yeah,
movie.
It definitely wasn't 43. So you liked it.
Yeah, and I like all those, movies with all the old stars, and I love the black and white, and but I have to say, after the first couple minutes,
yeah,
I heard the phrase "lunatic fringe." Is that where you got it from?
No, actually, I didn't. I got it from an article that was written about me, about my talk show when I used to be very conspiratorialist and political. And the author of the writer, the journalist, referred to me as on the edge of the lunatic fringe.
Oh my gosh! It just, yeah, jumped out at me.
No, so I didn't.
Because this is a 65 movie.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I wouldn't have even remembered that. I remember the St. Bernard being cut in half, and I still don't go near plants. And don't even start me on that creeping hand. I mean, I haven't seen this movie in what has to be more than 50 years, and I still remember
yeah,
it.
It's
and
very, yeah.
The paper drifts down, and, you know, they're in hell. Oh, my God. You know, so.
Well, did you also know, I did a little research on the movie. I'd like to do that after I've seen them. And do you remember the story with the musician and the voodoo?
Of course.
Okay. Well, that musician was supposed to have been played by Acker Bilk.
Oh, Stranger on the Shore.
Yes, but he apparently had a heart attack after he was hired for the role, so they had to replace him with the guy that's in the movie, which is Roy Castle.
Oh, wow. Wow, that would have been great if it was Acker Bilk. I would have loved that.
Wouldn't that have been fun?
Yes.
So, yeah, but when I heard...
Lunatic Fringe.
Lunatic Fringe, because I've never heard that phrase other than the opening of your show.
Yeah. No, so. I have to find that article somewhere, but yes, someone referred to me somewhat derisively as, you know, from the edge of the lunatic fringe. And, you know, I got an award in Philadelphia for being the only talk show host to make Rush Limbaugh sound rational. So I still have that frame somewhere.
Well, you know, you can be proud that it was Christopher Lee who said it.
Well, how so about that? Yes.
You're in good company.
Yes, yes. Well, I'll bet you whoever was writing that article probably knew that. But yes, the edge of the lunatic fringe.
That's funny. Yeah. Well, that was really all I had to tell you. I really enjoyed the movie, though, so thank you.
Oh, yeah,
and
glad you liked it.
I just wanted to say really good wishes towards Bruce.
Yes.
I know he's going through a lot, so I hope he's still listening. And
yes.
He's got all of us behind him. So
absolutely. Hopefully tomorrow will be a better day.
I do hope he calls tomorrow night,
me too,
like you asked him to.
Yeah, me too.
If he's available.
Yeah. All right. Well, good deal.
All right. Well,
now I
got
to go watch it again. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. Good deal.
Take care.
So,
bye.
How about that? But yeah, it's a wonderful movie if you like horror movies, and even if you don't, it's just one of those great movies. Dr. Harrer's House of Horrors, 1965. Yes, I remember. I saw the Lowe's 170th Street Theater. Yes, I remember that. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888-ROLLYE. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure that it's on mine. And don't worry, I won't run out of things. And if I do, well, there could be slime from the checkout line. That's right, it could come to that right here on WGN Radio.
Around groovy people. I don't like nobody that's got an ego. I don't like to sit around and hold a conversation with somebody who don't know where he wants to go. Give me the simple life, full of fun and joy. Can't you see I'm just a big old country boy? And I like groovy people. I'm talking about groovy down home people. I don't like nobody that's got an attitude. Walking around with them nose in the air, them kind of people I just can't use. So give me some groovy people. I said groovy, groovy people. Talking about groovy, 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 groovy people. Now baby, oh darling, we don't have to put up with them jive time folks no more. Let's pretend that we're not at our home when they come knocking, knocking on our door. People.
you did my business and things.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and yes, that's Lou Rawls, and that satisfies two requests. One, Stacy from Algonquin always wants Lou Rawls, no matter what. But the other, Sergeant Nick in Rockford, had said, play anything by Lou Rawls, so I did. Groovy People, 1976 on Philadelphia International, and that, of course, was a Gamblin' Huff tune. Got to number 19 on the R&B charts, and I think about 64 on the pop charts, so that was it. I remember the flip side was, this song will last forever, and I thought, no, it only seems that way. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh saw another interesting article, 6 used cars to stay away from. And given the price of cars today, I think more people are looking used than new. And, of course, there's a lot of neat features you might go for, but I think that it's universal. The one that everybody wants is reliability. So what 6 have used car buyers regretted? Well, Fiat 500. Apparently, you know about Fiat, first Italian attempt at transportation, fix it again, Tony, all that kind of stuff. So it has a long-standing questionable history on reliability. But according to Consumer Reports and J.D. Power, it's even more disappointing than otherwise expected. They say steer clear of 2012 through 2016 Fiat 500s. What can you anticipate? Clutch failure and high repair costs. Number 2, the Ford Escape. I don't even know they still made that. The cars are plagued with transmission issues like shuddering and jerking. And another major issue is the suspension, which needs frequent maintenance, costing you some. The Volkswagen EO is number 3. That was discontinued by Volkswagen in 2015. So it might be that you don't run into them too often. But it is a convertible, so some people like their convertibles. And the bottom line is this is one of the worst used convertibles you could possibly purchase. Prone to mechanical problems, particularly with the power windows and convertible top mechanisms. Electrical is expensive, and frequent suspension issues as well. Now, this one surprised me, the Toyota Camry. Now, that, from everything I heard, was reliable. Might not be exciting, but reliable. Well, apparently, the previous generation of this car had a reputation for having transmission problems, weak brakes, and poor fuel economy. And what they're saying is, if a Camry floats your boat, look at the Honda Civic or the Mazda 3 before you make that decision. They might be a little more expensive than a secondhand Camry, but in the long run, might be cheaper to own. The Chrysler 200... 2015 was, I think, the year that they said was the year from hell for the Chrysler 200. A number of them had been recalled by Chrysler that year. As to why, well, I always worry when it's electrical. Yes, electrical system wiring issues and power failures in the electrical system. So those who keep a watch of this say all of them have engine issues and speed control problems. Just lovely. And the 6th on the list, yeah, this might surprise you, the BMW. Well, you might feel like you're impressing everybody with a used BMW, but apparently those who keep track of reliability say don't buy it no matter what year. The cost of repair on these vehicles is insane. High cost of maintenance and repair costs are through the roof, not to mention if you want an extended service contract. Just issue after issue with those. So now you know. Those are the 6 to stay away from. So being a former Corvette girl, and I've mentioned I got to see America courtesy of Corvettes because they stranded me for, you know, hours or days on end, and giving me a chance to get to know all sorts of places, like Monahans, Texas. But be that as it may, it's interesting because the Lord of Motor Vehicles repaid me with the world's best Z28. I've had it since 1995, and it doesn't have any problems whatsoever. It's a wonderful car. I shouldn't say that, but with over 200,000 miles, I figure I'm not jinxing it at this point. It was the payback for all those bad Corvettes. But the most unnerving thing for me in talking to a lot of Corvette owners, and Camaro too, Z28s as well, is that the problem is occasionally you get a great one, which thankfully no problem at all. I did with the Z28. But more often than not, you get an absolute lemon. And so it was in 2020 when Corvette came out with a body style that once again really enticed me, because for quite a while I was just left cold with them. Particularly some of the interiors just didn't look very nice and all that. So here comes 2000, and man, you see this car going down the street, you notice this car. And so I've been watching it ever since, and unfortunately, it seems like I'm getting the same stories. Occasionally you hear somebody who, oh, I love it, it's just perfect, but more often than not, you hear throngs of people saying, it's the most unreliable thing I've ever had. So John had said to me, you know, they've been making it a long time. Couldn't they have figured that out? And I don't know. I wonder about that too. Of course, all my Corvettes predated the Bowling Green, Kentucky plant. Everything of mine was made in St. Louis. But they've been made in Bowling Green certainly since 84. There was no 83, of course. I think some of the 82s might have even come out of Bowling Green. But even saying 84, that's a lot of years to get it right. I don't know. All right, so we have two more hours to spend together, and it always gets better, well, at least better for me, when you call, so I hope you will. I'll give you a reason, or maybe just a threat. That's right, slime from the checkout line, coming up next hour right here on WGN Radio.
Lovers may come, lovers may go, it's no disgrace when I see the tear roll down my face.
Oh, what if
there's a tear in my eye?
What if
you should hear me cry? Would you feel
WGN Radio. I'm Ronnie James. Ah, just love her. Absolutely. Sugar Pie DeSanto, Ask Me, 1962 on Checker. The flip is Open Your Heart, which was co-written by Renard Meyer. And Sugar Pie would have turned 88 yesterday, and actually it was Johnny Otis who named her Sugar Pie. Her birth name was Ampelia Marcima. Ballantyne was her last name. You know, I don't know where the DeSanto came from. I'll bet you Renard does, but I don't. Her first husband was Pee-wee Kingsley, and her second husband was Jesse Davis, so I'm not sure where DeSanto came into the mix. But nonetheless, I don't care. Call her by any name. She had some great, great stuff, and Ask Me was one of them. So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. And starting it off this hour is James from Oregon. So, all right, James, what's up?
Hey, good evening. Yeah, listen to your talk about the cars that you had and different cars and which ones to buy and stuff. Do you remember the, I'm sure you do, the first T-Birds back in, was it in the 50s?
Oh, sure, absolutely.
The little sports car?
Yeah, everybody loved the ones with the porthole windows.
Yes, yes, I remember that.
Yeah, that was the one. And, that was Ford decided they wanted to have a sports car, and they debuted that in 1955.
Yeah, and then for some reason they decided to enlarge them, I guess, like a...
Oh, yeah.
Another rec-sized car.
Yes, yeah. that was much, much later, but absolutely. Yeah. But, the original, and that was, you know, kind of a name only. It was marketed from 55 to 2005, and then they didn't market it for I think, some of those years, like 97 to 2002, there was no Thunderbird. So,
yeah.
You know, but then of course they discontinued it twice in 1997 and then again in the 2000s. I think the last one done was 2005. But yeah, that porthole window one was just a classic.
Yeah, yeah, I remember we had when I was a kid in Florida down there, we had a neighbor had one, and you know, and I was always intrigued by it when we'd walk by it, I'd always look at it. It looked like a kid's car, you know, I guess.
It was the second year. The one in 55 didn't have the classic tire on the back and didn't have the porthole window. So it was small, that's for sure, but it didn't have those two features that made that 56 T-Bird such a classic. The 57, it still had the porthole window, but they got rid of the tire on the back. So to me, the 56 was the year to have.
Yeah. Yeah, I try to find one now, huh?
Yeah. But you know, they weren't all that fast. I mean, they were somewhat lightweight, which helped them. And they did have V8s, but not real big V8s. I think there was like 215 horsepower, and then they a little more in that the one that was an automatic transmission. I mean, they called it, I think, the Ford-O-Matic. So and it was like a two-speed transmission, low and dry, but it was interesting. Then of course 58 through 60 were when they kind of looked square, and then 61 through 63, those were really nice looking too. Those were the bullet birds, you know, they looked more like a bullet in the front, and they were just real nice looking. And then I don't know, by 64 there was generation 4. I didn't really like those so much, and then they started getting bigger, actually, I think in 67, although they did have those flip up headlights, and I was always a sucker for flip up headlights. I loved them.
Until they got stuck, right?
Well, that's right, absolutely, don't even start me. That's why I like those Cougars too. But the 67 or 71 Fords Thunderbirds had those flip up headlights.
Yeah, you probably like the Edsel too, or not?
No. I mean, we all know the dirty jokes about how to call it an Ethel, but I'll leave that alone. No.
Yeah. So. we had a neighbor that had one. I think he worked for a Ford dealership, and he had one parked out in front of his house for a short while, and then it wasn't parked there anymore, you know, but.
Yeah, I don't. I'm surprised that. I'm surprised at a lot of things when it comes to automotive. But you would think that there would be enough market research to see that the Edsel was going to be a problem.
Yeah. Do you think that Mustang, when they came out with the Mustang, what, around 65?
64 and a half. Yeah, 64 and a half.
Yeah, 64. Do you think that's the one that might have took the. The T-Bird out of the sports car range too, or
that's an interesting question. The T-Bird was definitely going in a different direction, but that Mustang, and you know, you'd have to get somebody who's a real car enthusiast more than me just looking at them. But that to me was really the real serious start of several cars that would be in that line when they in 67 came up with the Camaro and the Cougar and the Trans Am and all. I think it was going in that direction, but you know, where the T-Bird fit in that, I don't know. The Mustang was cheaper initially. I remember 64 and a half, they promoted the hell out of that car. A lot of radio stations had it as their station car, you know, with their call letters, and they'd drive it all around town and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they did a lot of promotion.
Yeah. Hey, I was going to tell you, I heard Marshall Thompson being interviewed on the radio program Saturday, and he's talking about a concert that he and a bunch of other groups going to be in Ontario, California on November 18th this year.
Okay.
People that are interested in the Shy Lights and stuff like that.
Those are the package tours that Art LeBeau used to put on. I'm glad they're still doing it. I think they call that the Always and Forever concert, which of course would make you think of Heatwave. I'm not sure why they do that, but the Always and Forever concert featuring the Shy Lights, and that's at the Toyota Arena.
Okay.
And that used to be you know, the real heart of the Art LeBeau stuff. And I'm not sure who else would be on that bill. I would think that Elon would be, the Stylistics would be, I'm guessing the Manhattans. You know, I don't know. Now I got to look at.
Yeah, I heard him say the Manhattans.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I heard him say a bunch of good, but he went through them real quick, but.
Yeah, but that's exactly what Art used to do. So let me see. I know they call it the Always and Forever. Okay, here we go. Okay, the Dramatics, Heat Wave, the Intruders, Blue Magic, the Persuaders, the Manhattans, the Emotions, Bloodstone, the Jones Girls, and the Temprees.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's that's like an Art LeBeau concert if I've ever heard of one. So you know, that's all big East LA acts, to say the least. Now, of course, most of them won't have original members for the obvious reasons, but nonetheless, you'll hear the song. Nothing like hearing Thin Line Between Love and Hate. But Little Sonny won't be with the Intruders, but they'll have somebody sounding a lot like them, and the Dramatics. Yeah, so that's a nice concert. I wonder who's putting that on now. I don't know. I'll have to find out.
For Stacy, that's an Alan Jackson fan. You know, let her know today's his birthday. He turned 65 today.
Oh, okay. Well, happy birthday, Alan Jackson. All right.
Yeah.
So, well, and he certainly has had more than a few country hits.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like some of his stuff. You know, I've heard him. And I like the one he did, Remember When, and it was about, like, when he was a young man, his wife was a young lady and stuff like that, and how they grew, you know, through life together. That was a nice song, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like that. Yeah. Well, I'm going to get off of here, and I got dialysis tomorrow, so I get my rest up. So.
Well, good. Good, absolutely. Yeah. Well, good to hear from you. Yeah. You're sounding good. That's always healthy.
Yeah, that's good. I feel good. Yeah, feel blessed. So.
Yeah.
I ain't got any complaints. Okay.
All right, good deal. Glad to hear it. Thanks.
Talk to you later.
Okay, good. All right, so yeah, a bunch of these package tours going on, the Always and Forever. It says FKOA Presents. I got to check that out. But The Miracles, Martha Reeves, Junior Walker, GQ, The Moments, Delphonics, Young Hearts, Brenda Holloway. They're going, and others to be announced. They're going to be in Carson. And when is that? May 14th. Maybe they already were. Or maybe they're looking at 2024. I don't know. But Live LA Events and FKOA present the Always and Forever Tour. So who is FKOA? I'll find out. All right, so 888-876-5593. Maybe you'll find it right now. Coming up on WGN Radio. '65 on Joda. That was Johnny Nash and Danny Sims' New York label. And Bill was Bill Johnson. who would have turned 91 yesterday. Born and died in Augusta, Georgia. Died in 2012. And Sam was Sam Gary from Columbus, Georgia. But these two Georgia boys got together in Newark. And Really For Your Love is the standout as far as that goes. So, yeah, if he was still with us, 91 years old. 888-876-5593. That would be 8888 Raleigh. So, Stacy in Algonquin, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. How are you doing?
Well, I played your request, so hopefully you liked it.
Thank you. Thank you for the Lural.
Okay.
And I wanted to tell you that the abundance check, it worked.
Wow. What'd you get?
No, I got some cash.
Yay.
From a friend, a Tracy. They had sold one of my books.
Good.
And what else?
That's great.
Oh, what is the gentleman's name that is sick?
Bruce from Elwood.
Then I wish Bruce all of Stacy's blessings.
Yes.
For a speedy recovery.
Yes. Very good.
But thank you again for the Lou Rawls.
Oh, sure.
And, I told you about the abundance thing. What else? The abundance.
Anything new on moving?
Oh, yeah. I've had an exhausting day. We went over to Eastgate, and I'm filling out paperwork.
Well,
I have to
so
get.
What did you think of it?
Oh, I like it.
Okay.
I like it. I just have to figure out what furniture I'm leaving, furniture taking.
Yeah, that's always a challenge.
Oh, God. I can't believe all these crazy things with the food.
Oh, I know. I know. It really, I guess if you want to be on a diet, this is the time to be on one, because I'm not sure I want to eat anymore.
I know, especially with the cheese, because I get the cheese I get the cheese in a can.
Cheese in a can?
Which is pretty good. You know, the squeezy cheese?
You mean like Cheese Whiz?
Yeah. And then I still have some of the regular cheese, but I'm careful when, you know, I open up the crazy plastic thing or whatever.
All right. Well, the less processed you can eat, the better. So the can is not your best option. Look for things that are very low processed.
Okay.
You know, because, you know, the fact that it's in a can, you know that's processed to hell and back.
Okay. You know, I'm trying to circulate my stuff and... Oh, God, it's so crazy with what I'm taking in the boxes. I'm trying to do 50 things at once.
Well, that's, you know, just don't look at the big picture like we've talked about before.
Oh, I know.
Don't do that. Just decide what you're going to tackle for today or even for this morning or whatever, for part of a day, and then just concentrate on that before you move along. Because if you look at the big picture, it's overwhelming.
I know. Do you know the radio that's on the kitchen table? You know, that was Raldo's. Do you know that sometimes that still goes on by itself?
That's an interesting story. Raldo might still be with you.
I know. It's right. Like maybe well, he visits
me. Hang on, Stacy. Don't go away. I want to hear a little more about
okay.
this. All right. So is Raldo back? We'll find out. We'll find out what's going on in the news right now on WGN Radio.
Why am I losing sleep over you? Reliving precious moments we knew. So many days have gone by, still I'm so lonely. Thank you.
within the prison walls of my mind. There's still a part of you left behind.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yes, Gary Puckett and the Union Gap. Although that was, of all that he ever did, that was the one I really didn't like. And Jerry Fuller wrote and produced that. I thought it was a wonderful record. He turned 81 years old today. He was born in Hibbing, but grew up in Yakima. And went to college in San Diego, and that's where he really got involved with music. Yeah, he had a soap opera life, to say the least. He actually fired Gary not Gary Puckett. He fired Jerry Fuller a year after that record. So he was only on the charts really for 2 years. That was it. But boy, on the oldies circuit, he's made it a living, to say the least. He's had three marriages and one long-term relationship, and that long-term relationship actually with Jacqueline Bellow was she was his manager for a while, and that was fraught with issues and all that. But then in 2000, he got married again to a girl in Florida, Lori, and he's been there in the St. Petersburg area ever since, and still performing. Not the same Union Gap, a different Union Gap. He disbanded the first Union Gap after 2 years of hits and started to do this alone with not much success. But anyway, happy 81st birthday to Gary Puckett today. So now, Stacy in Algonquin, the radio turns on. So tell me about this radio. Now, it isn't one that is like programmed where it could turn on its own, is it?
No.
Okay.
No.
So it's just your.
Just sometimes.
Tell me about the radio. What is it?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's.
No, I mean, who made it?
Oh, no, I don't know. I didn't check, but it was Raldo's radio.
And Raldo, so you got it just like in the kitchen or something? Where is it?
Yeah, I just have it on the kitchen table.
Okay, so it's a tabletop radio, AM, FM, and that's it?
Yeah, and you can also put, I think, some CDs in there, too.
Well, is there anything programmable about it? Is it digital? Does it have a clock or a timer or anything?
Oh, it does.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't, for a long time, I never programmed it or anything.
Well, probably something in there is still programmed. If you were going to tell me that it was just like an old Zenith AM FM transistor or something with no digital effects, I'd say, now here is a story, Raldo's back. But
it's very strange. It comes on at different times. Like, sometimes I'll hear it coming on in the middle of the night.
All right, you'll have to jot down the times if you can. See if there's any pattern to this.
And I don't know. It's really, maybe he's visiting me.
Well, he could be. It's possible. But when you've got, it sounds like you've got a radio that at least is partially programmable. So I'm going to default first to that. There's some setting in there. but yeah, it's stranger things have happened, Stacy. I'll tell you what.
Oh, I know. I mean, well, I hear noises.
Mm-hmm.
And then, what else happened?
Well,
I don't know. It's really, really weird.
Well, you'll have to make note of some of these.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, I know I've got so much on my mind. Sometimes I forget to turn off the other light in the kitchen.
Right. Those things we're not gonna look at right now. But radios turning on by themselves, I'm somewhat interested. So start jotting down what time, and next time you walk by the radio, jot down what it is. What's the make and model?
Okay. All right. And then, you know, it shuts off.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Well, I don't know. I just...
It could have a timer. All right. Well, yeah. No, well, let me know what the make and model is, and we'll see if it's got a timer in there. All right.
Okay. And then John sounds pretty good. And
yes.
I know, I know what you mean with the food. I mean, what can you eat nowadays?
Well, you start to become a label reader, for one thing. And I always say shop the outside of the shopping aisles, you know, where the fresh fruit is and all that. Stay away from things that are packaged, things that are frozen, you know, because all of that's going to have a lot of preservatives and a lot of things in it that you'd rather not have. So the more natural you can do, the healthier it is.
Okay. And how are you doing with your health and everything?
Ups and downs, just frustrated as hell these days. I'm having a broadband issue with Cox Communications. That's who they are. I am so fit to be tied. I mean, had this show been on Sunday, there wouldn't have been one. I'm very frustrated, and I don't know how to handle this, because part of this is probably, you know, I had to rent this place in a hurry because of John's stroke, and so part of it can be infrastructure in the buildings themselves, but they're going through a colossal fight between a takeover and all this, so I'm between a rock and a hard place, and I'm just going nuts. So I know that's affecting my health, because my frustration level is through the roof. But other than that, I'm fine.
I know. Can I have, since it's Alan Jackson?
No, we're not going to. No, I know. We already said that. We're not going to do that. But you got your little Rawls. Be happy. All right. I'll talk to you later.
No. Thank you very much. I like
all right.
Little Rawls.
Keep me posted. I can't wait to hear more about that radio. Okay. Thanks.
Okay.
All right, good
you
deal.
Take care, Raleigh.
You too. All right. So 888-876-5593. That would be 8888 Raleigh. And that is, let's see here. What are we doing here? We got James on the south side. We're going to get to his stories. And Chuck in Rockford cars. And Bill in Chicago 50s cars. But Andrew in Prospect Heights has been waiting the longest. So hello, Andrew. Welcome back to WGN.
Hey, Raleigh. Good evening. I'm speaking of old radios or whatever her radio is, I just had my grandfather's 1931 Stromberg radio all reconditioned and new tubes. And I'm listening to you on that tonight, and you're coming through it just beautiful.
Oh,
and
nice.
That radio, surprisingly, had a remote control.
Okay, now let me ask you, is this that floor model radio?
It's a tall floor model.
Right, right. It's like
tall.
In a walnut case.
It is.
Oh, yep. Yeah. Does it have the double doors?
No, this one does not.
Okay.
This one does not.
Does it have the carved legs?
It's just absolutely beautiful. It sat in my mom's basement for the longest time, and it had water conditions. And finally, I found a local radio group in Chicago and a guy who refurbishes, and they just did an absolutely beautiful job on it, and it's... My grandfather used to listen to shortwave during the war.
Yeah, of course.
Got a shortwave on there as well.
Yeah.
And there's not too much I'm finding on there. I get a lot of Cuba, and I get a lot of religious shows. I'm not getting too much shortwave chatter anymore.
Right, a ton of religion, and it also depends what hours you're listening. So.
Oh, well, I don't sleep.
So you can try various things, but that's great. Every now and then I'll see them on eBay, and considering what they are, they're very affordable, though, of course, you know they're heavy, so delivery is a bitch.
Yeah. But I had a quick question for you, and you have, and no offense when I say that you've been around the block in radio, that's a compliment.
Okay.
I have a son who's thinking about getting into radio. I'm not quite sure if he's the personality type but, you know, I have some other friends that have worked in the industry, and I had one friend who said, I have only one tip to tell you, and that's never unpack your boxes. So, right.
That's certainly true in the older days. I mean, it used to be the status of a disc jockey was, did you own your own U-Haul? and the ads used to say no floaters nor drifters need apply because people moved that much. But, you know, I always say people don't get into radio. Radio gets into them. And I think that if your son is saying, I have to do this. I have no choice. There's nothing else I want to do no matter what, then yes. But if he has any other choice, I don't think it's an optimal time if he's looking for a career.
Right. You know, back in the day, and you know, I think from, you were an A&R person, I believe. Is that correct?
Well, actually, I was a promoter. The A&R
promoter.
The A&R people put up with me because they wanted their hits played.
But, you know, back in the day, you know, with all the great stations we had here in Chicago, you know, during the, you know, the 60s.
Sure.
I mean, a disc jockey could make or break a song. You know, you could actually talk to them. You could stop by the station. Those things don't go on anymore.
Well, let me tell you, actually, when you say the 60s, this really started to change in 61, because what happened was the Paola hearings. When the Paola hearings took place in 1960, after that, the FCC passed some new sections. And until then, it was perfectly illegal for a disc jockey to take money. The licensee couldn't, but the disc jockey could. And so when you look at the 50s and people like Alan Freed, these are people who played what they wanted to play. But after 1961, almost all the stations, no longer could the disc jockey choose the music, period. He'd work within a playlist, and the playlist would be set for him. I used to laugh, well, instead of paying off seven people, now just pay off the music director. But regardless, the freedom wasn't as big as you think. It was no longer a case of the disc jockey is known for his music taste. If you're talking like the mid-60s and you're talking about a WLS or went WCFL, went Top 40, those jocks did not have freedom of choice, period. You're
more
right.
More in the 50s?
And until 61, absolutely. And that's why, you know, the best jocks of the 50s, when you listen to them, you say, God, these guys are actually awful announcers. And they were, but they had such terrific music tastes that they got over, like an Alan Freed or a Huggy Boy or an Art LeBeau, or on and on it would go, because they really, what they played defined them. But after about 61, what they played, now this was not as true on fringe radio, on things that weren't mass appeal. Some of the soul stations, they didn't care, you know, because the owners were, small-time businessmen, and that's another story. So if you're talking about soul radio, there was more freedom in that. But as far as Top 40 radio, certainly if it's owned by ABC, no, the guys at WLS didn't get to pick the songs they wanted to play. I laugh because I can just see the look on Leonard Goldenson's face when he discovered that ABC was liable for Plugola inadvertently because of the Dick Clark Saturday Night Beach Nut Show. But anyway... they didn't get much freedom of choice. The problem is right now is we're in a real transition time. You know, I never say, well, radio's dead, because I've never believed that. In the early 50s, that's all we heard, because television came in, radio's dead. But of course, here comes Top 40, and it breathed a life into it that certainly the networks weren't expecting. And you know, after a while, you hear, well, AM's dead. You know, well, not necessarily. When Rush Limbaugh was syndicated, there were a lot of AM stations that did very well behind him, for instance, and on. So I don't count AM or FM, that's a delivery truck to me. Just like whether it's satellite or whether it's internet, what I care is about is content. What's in that truck? What's on the air?
Right. And, you know, as a very, as an avid listener of radio, up and down the dial here, there's just so much parity and so much, especially for a market like Chicago, it just puts chills through me when I hear all of this syndicated programming,
right,
up and down the dial, and it's not unique any longer. You've got some guy in New York or wherever programming hundreds and hundreds of radio stations, and it's just, to me, it's just all milquetoast. And
well,
that syndication absolutely drives me nuts.
Well, syndication is obvious, but what's not as obvious to you is probably all the midday shows on the music stations are voice tracked. It's not somebody sitting there actually doing anything, and on. But you see, there was a time when we could talk about these greedy owners, but it's surpassed that now. Now we're into an era of desperation, because you've got a lot of consolidation, and you basically have three major groups, or two and a half, depending on what you think of Odyssey. But anyhow, the deal is that all of these groups are in desperate financial trouble. I cannot overstate that. And the reason is they so overpaid for properties that even if they were totally sold out, I'm not sure they'd satisfy the debt service. So most of what's going on in terrestrial radio right now is literally staying alive. And so, yeah, they may have a live morning show, and that's it as far as in a local market. And everything else, they're looking for, how do we do this with no money? So it's not necessarily a great time to say, I'm going to get into, you know, radio, you know, broadcast radio. There's so many opportunities online, but almost none of them for money. You know, if they don't know who you are, they're not going to find you. No one's ever gone to Google and searched for something they've never heard of. So that's the problem right now with doing things online. Your son could easily get a show together and have a lot of fun, but who the hell would ever know it was there? So the real question is he trying to make quite a bit of money? Does he want a career that's going to be lucrative? Because right now I would not suggest broadcast radio.
Money issue hasn't really come up. I think it's like you said earlier, it's a little bit more of a passion. He loves music, and you know, he does some side jobs here as a disc jockey and parties and things, and sure. He just loves it. And he said he'd love to try it as a profession. And you know, I'm trying to be a supportive parent, and I don't want to browbeat him and tell him don't do it. You need to go to school for something else. And so, you know, you want your kid to be successful, and once he moves out of the house, I don't want him to come back.
And what you really want is your kid to be happy. And that's what that comes down to. But I would say if he's interested in commercial radio, what he needs to do is get to know people. Because I can't tell you how important that is. Almost no program director hires somebody cold. They've been recommended by somebody. They're aware of them because of something. They're in that network, if you will. So I'm not saying that knowing the right person is sufficient. It's not. You have to be talented too, but it's necessary. So if you're talented with no contacts, you're probably not going to get anywhere. No doors are going to open. Now, on the other hand, if you're not talented and you have a lot of contacts, you're still not going to get anywhere. So it's a combination of those things. But one of the things he might try, if he's still at a stage where he's got the luxury of not having to earn the money right now, is he might try to put an online show together. Anyone can do that, and it's virtually free.
Right, and gain some listeners there and maybe some popularity.
And if nothing else, even if he doesn't get too many listeners, he's doing it for himself. Let him listen to his own shows and see what he thinks of them.
And then maybe he gets that satisfaction out of that and he moves on to something else.
Yeah,
or maybe he finds that it's not an interest.
Exactly. You know? And then if he does find it's an interest and that's his passion, then he can build from there. And all along, though, get to know people. All right, John.
One quick note. I emailed you an ad for cars from 1961 that I found. And I put a comment on there. At those prices, I could buy 10 of them today.
Oh, that's so funny. And by the way, GN went to news already, so you're just talking to me now. Don't worry about that.
I'm sorry, Raleigh.
That's perfectly fine. You're just talking to me and whoever listens to my stream. I'm fine with that. But, I would say he should have a good time right now, and he should go ahead and I would say do something online because it's virtually free. See if he likes it. See what he wants to do. And in the meantime, try to meet people.
Good advice, Riley. Thank you. Enjoy the show have a great night. I'm so sorry I did that to you.
Oh no!
You should have told me to shut up.
I'm notoriously bad at it. So my deal with WGN is I let them interrupt me anytime they want because I'm not watching the clock. That's what Adam and Master Control does. So don't worry about it. I don't care. All right. Thanks.
I feel bad.
Great night. Okay. Thanks. Appreciate it. No. Sense of timing. As John has pointed out many times, I'm incapable of time management on any level. I just don't relate to it. It's that little touch of autism, I think. All right. Well, in any event, we'll get back to cars with Bill in Chicago, and we'll talk to Chuck in Rockford and Andrew Old Radios. And we talked to Andrew, I thought. I'm pretty sure we did. I don't know. I'll have to have John find that out. But then we have James and his stories. All right, all that and more coming up.
Pretty little angel eyes. Pretty little angel eyes. Pretty little angel, pretty little angel, pretty little, pretty little, pretty little.
Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, Curtis Lee. Love that song. 1961. Yeah, when Phil Spector was still producing songs that I thought were just great. And nothing sounded better coming out of a jukebox in 1961 than Pretty Little Angel Eyes. Yeah, I'll tell you what. Just made the tubes sing. So, 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. I played it for a reason, by the way. It was on this date in 1961 that Curtis Lee was performing that lip-syncing it, actually, on American Bandstand. Yeah, when it was still a five-day-a-week strip show. All right, so 888-876-5593. That will take us to Andrew in Chicago. What's happening, Andrew?
Hey, Raleigh.
Yeah, tell me what's on your mind.
Okay, well, first of all, since placing the hold, I actually managed to write bullet points based off of stuff that you were talking about. Wait, so are you actually autistic?
Well, you know, if there was a spectrum when I was a kid, I certainly would have been on it, but they didn't have that back then. It wasn't a word that anyone knew. But yeah, I'm pretty disabled emotionally. I would say that's a given.
Oh, because, you know, I have what they used to call Asperger's.
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. No, in fact, that's gotten a lot more play in the last few decades.
Yeah. For better or worse, I mean, because now there's this really weird I have my issues, even though I'm glad that it's at least positive representation. People, and I understand, you know, oh, wait, and I'm really speaking in terms of just media portrayal and on TV shows. The problem is that they're missing the spectrum part. It's like they're always, you know, I know plenty of people who have Asperger's that, you know, are not, you know, doctors by the time, you know, they're 20, you know, and stuff like that, or totally, you know, and it seems like half of the times when they portray people like me, it's like they're like, they have like no libido. They're just so stale, you know. It's like people, I don't know. I just don't like the way they seem to portray us. However, I'm glad it's positive. Like, I am not at all a math person, you know, but I am a very analytical person, mm-hmm. and but for me, it's people and observations. Granted, I have a very weird analytical point of view when it comes to just human interaction. There is a mathematical component, just the way I look at people. But anyway, now I'm getting on to let me get.
Yeah, no, I will say in summation is that when you're talking about media portrayals and all, it's never one size fits all. And whenever you're talking about anything that has an emotional or mental component, it's as different as people are. So putting it in a basket and saying, well, this is the way it is, that never works.
Yeah, I mean, and I know some who are not at all idiot savants. I am.
All right. Right. Sure. Right. Absolutely.
You know, and that just really, well, anyway, yeah. I can go on forever on that.
Indeed.
So, secondly, you were talking about the payola thing, which I know a little bit about. I didn't realize that it resulted in, disc jockeys into, you know, being told what to play. So my question is, do you have any books, or no, not have any, know any books about history of radio? Because all I have are books on radio soap operas. So, like, do you know of any,
you know,
history books or accounts?
I can't tell you about anything that's great. Unfortunately, it's out of print, but the book I wrote many years ago absolutely defined all of what went on and what led up to, and the payola hearings and all of that, and, of course, the fallout afterwards. So I think some of what I put in that book has probably not been ever put in any other book. Problem is, it's out of print, and I'm not going to reprint it. So I don't know. I don't know.
Well,
otherwise,
give me the title anyway. I might find out.
Well, let me tell you. Like Amazon has it at insane prices. Don't even do it. In fact, I'm thinking about making it available for free online through a friend, because I'm not gonna try to profit from it any more than I did. But the title was "What Am I Doing Here When Everything I Want Is Somewhere Else."
When did you print it?
2010.
Interesting.
Yeah, John said I had to write a book. Well, I wasn't going to write a book all about me, but so what it is it's a self-help book punctuated with radio stories.
That's interesting. Let's see. The old radio, that one of my old radios that I have that I'm listening to on my desk, it's I'm pretty sure it was the early 60s. It's an Admiral clock radio, too.
Okay.
Of course.
Sure.
And I realized that it has that thing you told me about, AFC.
Yeah, well, sure, automatic frequency controlled. Yes, yes. It does nothing. No. That's one of the things, like, years ago, anyone who's ever been an engineer has this, where someone in management will come to you and they will say, you know, the air conditioning system here, I want it a little cooler in my office or warmer in my office. Well, invariably, you would just put a thermostat in there. It wouldn't really be connected to anything, but usually they'd never talk about it again. They were happy to just dial it one way or another. But that's sort of what I think about with the AFC switch. It does nothing.
Interesting. There was that other thing. I was going to mention this yesterday when you gave me that question, you know, about the first major lesbian character.
Yes, and you got it right.
Yeah, I didn't want to get totally, you know, down a weird rabbit hole. But what I wanted to tell you was that so the first was Devon Shepherd on that show back
right.
in 81. The reason, but what I've always liked to tell people is that doing the first gay storyline on soaps was almost like the space race. It's like they were able to do mostly anything else, mm-hmm. but at that time, but they couldn't do a gay character or the audience would freak out. But by 81, the show realized what everybody else was doing wrong, that they had to go against usual tradition. When they do a storyline like that, usually, yeah, they'll have a popular character. Because it's the one the audience can relate to, likes, roots for. But when they tried it in the past, before 81, other shows, well, the audience was like, oh, I don't want her to be gay or him to be gay. It's because they didn't want to see that with their character. So they're like, okay, let's get one of the least popular characters
mm-hmm.
on the show. And that was Devon. And she wasn't. It's a weird character because she had all the makings for a success. The actress was good, but she didn't have that, you know, extra spark.
Yeah, it was Trisha Persley. Yeah.
How do you know?
I just know this stuff. And Donna Pescal played Lynn, the psychiatrist who was the admitted lesbian.
Wow. You're right. I like you because you know a little bit about everything.
Yeah, well, All My Children was an interesting show all the way around.
Oh, yeah, when I love reading early reviews about it.
Yeah.
The New York Times mainstream was very kind to it, but the press hated it. But the New York Times was calling it, like, dramatized 60 minutes back when it was a half-an-hour episode. Oh, and I've read so many scripts of the show early on. And it was still half an hour, and it was all not necessarily hard-hitting social issues, but some kind or social commentary.
Mm-hmm.
There's part of an episode from 71 around where they're talking about characters are, you know, talking about fashion trends,
mm-hmm.
you know, and making fun of it because, you know, 71. But, you know, I was reading all these old scripts. It's like, it was really neat because it was like current events, nothing, not always something hard hitting, but characters talking about politics, and even in a civil way, like friends with differing beliefs. And I just thought, found that very neat, you know.
Yeah, well, Agnes Nixon had been, you know, writing on the guiding light when she came up with the idea. And, you know, when she was putting together the story Bible, it was, you know, supposed to be focused on social issues and young love. So what was interesting is she tried to sell it to NBC, and they didn't bite, and then to CBS, and then once again to NBC through Procter & Gamble, and Procter & Gamble wouldn't make room for it in their lineup. So, you know, then she becomes head writer for, I think, Another World or something.
Correct.
And in that, I think she was writing, using a few things from All My Children.
Correct.
So, but ultimately, you know, when ABC approached her, it was interesting because One Life to Live was on before it, actually. And so, which, you know, she did well. So they asked her for another program. And what I loved about All My Children is that Agnes Nixon was obviously from Philadelphia, and she would always be pimping Philadelphia suburbs and stuff, like, you know, Pine Valley was supposed to be Rosemont. Or, you know, they had characters like Wallingford, and they'd go to Center City. So it was all the things that were, you know, Philadelphia-based, which I always had fun with.
Well, she wasn't from Philly. She just loved it. She was raised in Tennessee, born in Chicago, moved here when she was one, her parents divorced.
Okay.
But she just likes Philly.
Well, she knew, she sure knew enough about it, because there was so much in that, and there were some very interesting characters in it. So
Agnes, there are two versions of why One Life was first. And after getting a copy of the original Bible,
uh-huh,
of All My Children, something in there immediately grabbed me. My jaw fell on the floor. The main character, instead of Dr. Joe Martin, it was Dr. Jim Craig, a psychiatrist. He was one of the initial characters on One Life to Live.
Uh-huh.
And one of the versions of the story was that ABC, she pitched All My Children first, but ABC was like, okay, you want full creative control, and you want to produce it yourself, but you've always had a co-creator, and you never actually had experience producing. So they were like, okay, so we need a pilot or just some kind of temporary show for you to get your feet wet. And that was One Life to Live. It was supposed to have ended 6 months later, but it became one of the few instant, you know, hits,
right,
in,
yeah,
daytime.
Yeah.
And so like, okay. But so when I was reading that in the character descriptions, it was really interesting. It's like, up until 5 years ago, I was just, you know, seeking out knowledge, just absorbing everything. That for the past 5 years,
mm-hmm,
it's more me going to, you know, databases at UCLA. I just got 200-page packet from UCLA on Bill Bell.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's me seeking questions, which comes to more questions, you know.
Right.
And and so right now I'm at a very exciting time, because it's like, you know, and I'm talking to people now who've worked in the industry. Unfortunately, I've questioned, why is Erica Kane not in the Bible for All My Children? I have my suspicion, which was that at one point, you mentioned NBC. I know at one point it was to be a spinoff of Another World.
Mm-hmm.
And the character of Rachel on Another World and Ada, which she created, were prototypes of Erica and Mona. In fact, Robin Strasser, who played Rachel at that time, was originally given the part of Erica, but she was on the show that was number one in the country,
right,
for soaps. She wasn't going to a new one. And Susan Lucci, you know, immediately was popular. I actually have a story outline from 73 where they were planning on killing Erica off, which was interesting.
Oh, yeah, that is interesting.
But ultimately, you know, I don't know. I just feel like it's part of my journey, because unfortunately, I have so many questions, and a lot of my questions nobody can answer because everybody in pop is dead.
Right. Well, unfortunately, that's so true. But of all the actors who were on both of those soaps, my all-time favorite was David Canary. I thought he was just terrific.
They have bad actors, sure. But by God, when they get like a David Canary, actors, you know, who could have been huge.
It was very obvious with him. He's no longer with us, of course, but he wanted a 9-to-5, basically. He didn't want a job where he was going to be on the road. He didn't want to do a lot of things. And so he was pretty together in his own life and thought that this was just perfect. But when he played both the Adam and Stewart roles simultaneously, I just thought he was unbelievably good.
Well, not only that, my favorite thing, too, I've been binge watching a lot of All My Children, obviously, consecutive episodes, and when he is playing Adam pretending to be Stuart, or Stuart
right.
pretending
yes.
to be Adam,
yes.
that's some kind of raw talent. Like, I know you believe in mysticism, too, like astrology and stuff like that. That to me is when... There are a few people who have that kind of talent, and I really feel that people who have that kind of ability, and the fact that in daytime you have to do it in one take.
Oh, of course, of course. I hate to do this to you, but John says I'm blowing the news once again, so I'm hanging up, and I'll talk to you soon.
Sure.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Tomorrow.
I'll pick it up right there on WGN Radio.
I'm confessing that I love you. Tell me, do you love me too? I'm confessing that I need you. Honest, I do. Need you every moment. In your eyes I read such strange things, but your lips deny they're true. Will your answer really change things, leaving me blue? I'm afraid someday you'll leave me, saying, can't we still be friends? If you do, you know you'll grieve me, for all in life on you depends. Am I guessing that you really love me, dreaming dreams of you in vain? I'm confessing that I love you.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yes, Frank Ifield, I'm confessing that I love you. Yeah, that was on Capitol after Capitol got the contract back from VJ. And it was VJ where he had I Remember You. And of course, courtesy of Frank Ifield. Oh, I could play his yodeling and stuff too if that wasn't bad enough. That's how VJ wound up with the Beatles. And that's how they were able to release Introducing the Beatles, because Capitol, EMI, forgot to get the release on the Beatles when the Frank Ifield contract ended. So here was Frank Ifield. The contract's ended. He's now on Capitol. They're releasing things like I'm Confessing That I Love You in 1963, unaware that VJ still has the rights to the Beatles because they forgot to reclaim them. Yeah, and of course, you know what happened after that. So 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. Bill is in Chicago. What's up, Bill?
Yeah, he was talking earlier about cars. I don't know what your age is, but you remember the 1950 Studebaker? You couldn't tell the front from the back.
Yes.
In fact, there was a story that there once a guy went to work that worked on the assembly line at the Studebaker plant in South Bend, Indiana, and he had a hangover, and he put the taillights in the front and the headlights in the rear.
That's
for
great.
For about 15 cars. He didn't know the difference. He couldn't tell it. But just, and also... you remember the 50 Fords that we used to call them, the big matchbox in the middle and two little ones on the end that were square-shaped?
By the way, let me get to that Studebaker again. I thought that it was the 1947 Studebaker that you didn't know if it was running forward or backward.
No, they still had them in the 50s.
No, they did, but that 47 was, I think, when it came out, and that was...
Yeah, that's probably when it came out. I just remember it in the 50s, because I've got a model of the 1950 Studebaker.
Right, and that was the joke, though. Like you say, you know, we used to call them the Stupid Baker. But
yeah, we used to call them, when I was a kid. I lived on a farm. We used to call them the two row corn pickers.
Oh, there you go.
It looked like a corn picker that would go down through the field. And then I can remember back, an uncle of mine. Remember the old stick shift?
Of course.
Yeah, well, the stick shift, and I can remember when my uncle. One of my uncles, he went to Korea, and he left the car with his wife, my mother's sister,
mm-hmm.
and it was a 50-some or 51 O's, I think, and it had a hydromatic drive.
Yes.
That's when they had the automatic transmission, and then they come along with, I think it was Chrysler came out with
the push-button thing.
Push buttons in the center of the steering column, and
absolutely.
People start to blow the horn and wreck their transmission.
Yes, yes.
Because they forget there was a transmission.
Right, yes, I remember those push
buttons. And I can remember, too, also that Plymouth come out with the automatic dimmer on your headlights. It was a little tiny electric eye sitting in the front left corner of the windshield.
Right. I absolutely remember the satellite dimmer, they called it at the time.
Right, and that dimmed the headlights coming towards you, or your headlights, or the guy coming to you.
And I love the Lincoln, where you could change the radio dial with the button on the floor that was right next to the bright lights.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, my mother-in-law inherited a 1959 or 60 Lincoln Continental.
Uh-huh.
And that was a big, monstrous car.
It was.
And I can remember, I had a friend that had a Mercury, and it was big enough that we'd go to the drive-in, and that's when you could sit, depending on the size of the people, you could sit at least four people in the front of the bench seat and get at least five or six people in the back seat to go to a drive-in when they'd have those specials back then for drive-in. $2 a carload or something like that, where before they used to charge you like 50 cents a person to get in. And so we'd ready to load the car up. In fact, we'd load the trunk up. And they'd always check the trunk, too, and you'd lay in the trunk. But you're just mentioning that made me think all that stuff in the 50s. And then radio in the 50s, well, of course, my favorite, up near Fort Wayne with WWO with Bob Seaver, Jack Underwood, and Bob Chase.
Yep, the world-famous Fire Escape.
Jay Gould.
Mm-hmm.
And then Indianapolis was IBC with Bouncing Bill Baker.
Right.
Easy Gwynn, Jim Shelton.
Sure.
And, of course, guy I knew real well, Dick Summer.
Yeah.
And then on WIRE at night used to be Bernie Herman, the Night Beat.
Right.
He used to play the steam song with Night Train. He used to play that. So. But anyway, that was what I was going to tell you, mention about the car. I just had to think of that the Studebaker, because that was the one that you couldn't tell the front from the back.
Absolutely. And I do remember seeing, I should look it online, because I know I've seen it online. They had a picture of a 1951, and it looked classically bad that way. Yes.
Right. Do you remember the step down Hudson?
Yes.
You had to step down into it?
Yep.
Right. Yeah. You didn't step up, you stepped down.
No, step down. Yeah. Well, there were some flaws with that vehicle, to say the least. That 48, I think, was the step down Hudson.
Right. It was around that, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was a mess all the way around. I think there was a critic who called it an evolutionary wrong turn.
Right. So. Yeah, because if you didn't pay attention, you step in, you'd fall into the car. You wouldn't get in the car because you'd think you're stepping on the floorboard, and you'd step down about 6 inches to get into the car.
Well, the other thing that I remember was the price jump. And now when you think about it, it's a joke, but I remember it went up to over $2,000 and everybody was talking about it. And they put out those ads.
Right.
Here's the car they said was years away. Yeah, right. So
In fact, we had, when I was a kid, because I was born in the late 30s, but in the 40s, we had my father at that time had a 1937 Chevrolet, and you had to pitch the roof twice a year.
Oh, man. See, that's
because
way
before they made the full solid metal roofs. It only went part way, and then they had this like canvas stuff in the middle, and you had to pitch it so it would hold up and leak when you're riding. Sometimes it would leak when you were riding.
I'll bet it would. You betcha. Yeah. But the other weird thing about that Hudson was when you looked at the dash, the dials weren't right in front of you. They were like in the middle of the dashboard.
Yeah, right. They weren't in front of you. They were off to the right.
And it's what is that about? You know, you're not driving in the center. Yeah, and it also had those split windows, of course, because it's before the glass was curved and all that.
Right. But you know, it was. And then, of course, one of my most favorite radio stations was cruising around late at night was WLAC.
Oh, well, of course,
Listen to it. You get late at night, you get Mon Mabley and Red Fox and all
those guys. Herman Grizzard and, of course, right. Hoss Allen, Automy the Hoss Man, and John Arrow.
Yeah, they wouldn't play that stuff nowadays on the radio.
Of course not, of course. But, you know, WLAC is interesting. In Nashville, they didn't even admit they were doing that at night. They acted like were a daytime-only station, you know. Nashville society was not ready for that, and for the most part had no idea it was on.
Right. You if you was cruising around, you'd turn your dial, we listened to it.
Oh, I loved it.
Because you'd come on like midnight or 1 in the morning.
Well, and the commercials were the best, of course, you know. Red Top Baby Chicks, 101 uses, you know.
Don't forget to buy your chickens, right?
That was it. Like I've always said, when I was young, when the Red Top Baby Chicks, at this price, sex cannot be guaranteed. And I always wondered who wanted to have sex with a chicken. And
In Ernie's record mart.
Oh, yeah, Ernie's record, yeah.
You know, Ernie's is closed.
Well, of course. That was Ernie.
It's closed now because I was in Nashville the end of July, and Ernie's record shop is still there, but there's nothing in it.
Right. No, that was Ernie
Young.
The
building's there and the sign's there, but there's nothing in it anymore.
Yeah, and he was an interesting guy. He owned Accello Records. That's why so many of those Accello records were always on LAC. But, everybody remembers the chickens, of course, but they also had things like White Rose Petroleum Jelly. I'll never forget it.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, 101 uses, and you know what that one is for. And I remember having to ask my mother, what's the one for, Mom? She had not a clue. But...
Okay. Well,
keep one in the glove box. You never know what might pop up. You know, just like, oh my God.
You might get sunburned.
Yeah, right. Right. All this stuff. And yeah, to think that was on the air every night, and it was.
That was quite the thing. And then, of course, you had WJJD here in Chicago.
Oh, yeah. Well,
the old Supper Club Frolics.
Well, yeah, until sundown Salt Lake City when they had to sign off.
They had to sign off at night. They were I remember when then JJD went to I forget what they called it. They played all the old 50s and records and that. Remember the
pop standards. Yes,
right. Before they went off all the air altogether. Yeah. That station now, that frequency is a Christian radio station now.
I'll bet it's full-time, is it? Did they finally get some
time? Yeah, it's on 24 hours.
I thought so. I never bothered to research the history of that, but I would bet they got that power.
Yeah, it's a full-time station now. But and then, of course, IBC is not on AM anymore.
Oh, breaks my heart. I know.
Yeah, they were trying to keep it going.
I know.
The tower is on, got so expensive, or so...
Well, of course, they couldn't afford
not to sell it.
And that story had been coming for a long time. The first time I remember really weeping over that was 1985, when Jefferson Pilot Life Insurance in the Carolinas signed off a station in Greensboro because it was a three-tower directional and the land was worth more than the station.
Oh, yeah, that's why IBC in Indianapolis, same thing.
Yeah, and
the land is worth more than they sold it, right?
that happens everywhere. Now, of course, what we're seeing in Las Vegas now with a couple of stations are coming back. They're gonna actually triplex there, which is an interesting engineering feat. But, you know, if you're willing to spend the money, you can diplex off another antenna and another tower and wind up getting everything and more. But most of the people, they just turn in the licenses.
Right. Right, right.
It's unfortunate.
Right.
Yeah.
Otherwise, that's about it for tonight. I was just going to let you know about those cars.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. All right. Well, good to hear from you. Thanks.
Okay.
Appreciate it. All right. So 888-876-5593. We'll pick it up right there. Now, if we don't get to you tonight, keep something in mind. We got tomorrow night for 3 big hours, 21 hours from now, right here on WGN Radio. Does it get better than the moon glows? I don't think so. 1957 on Chess, and actually it was in 1957 on this date that the Alan Freed movie Mr. Rock and Roll debuted at the Paramount in New York City. And the moon glows, of course, were one of the many, many acts in that. Yeah, it was one of the more amazing movies. Chuck Berry and Little Richard and Brooke Benton and Clyde McFadder and Frankie Lammon and the Teenagers, but the moon glows. Yeah, and that was my fave. All right, so we've got Frank in Northlake. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, thank you, Raleigh. How are you?
All right, how about yourself?
Coming along. Yeah, you were talking about the old radio programs. I'm not going to discuss that one, but I remember one that was called Young Widder Brown.
Oh, yes.
And then, but yeah, and that As the World Turns, you know, and yeah. All of that. Those are like in the 50s, late 40s. But anyway, all my children, you know, I've got a lot of characters. They're the people who played, they played, but not the stars' names, actual names.
Yeah.
I used to know a few, but I chanced to watch these soaps, because there was a girl I was going out with, and she was like a soap freak, you know.
Okay.
However, all my children, Luke and Laura, I remember Sky. I don't
right.
know if this was all my children
yes.
or General. I think it was all my children.
I think Luke and Laura was General Hospital.
Oh, okay. And then Scotty
yes,
and his girlfriend.
Yes, yes.
It was like young teenagers. And then who was the old lady, Phoebe?
Phoebe Wallingford.
I think that was all. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
she was a great actress too. She really was.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And that other kid with the kind of like a super fly hat, dressed in the white suit, like the old Southern gentleman.
Yeah.
You know, I'll beg your pardon, sir.
Yeah.
You know,
with the guy she was married to. Yeah. Right.
Billy somebody. Was he a pimp?
But, oh, you're talking about Billy Clyde Tuggle. Yes.
That's it.
Billy Clyde Tuggle. I think his name was Matthew Coles. Anyway, he played that character, and it was hilarious because he would occasionally just go off script. And I'll never forget, and they left this in, but he came on, and he said, "This is my persuadiator stick." I mean, it was just too funny to believe. And, Billy Clyde Tuggle. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that was him. You know, a lot of times people read a little more into a script, but yet it turns out to be great and fitting, and they keep it.
Oh, no, absolutely. I did that once. Absolutely. Matthew was, that was all my children for sure. His father, Matt Cole's father, was a theater producer in New York, Chandler Cowles. So, he was playing on Broadway before the soap operas and stuff like that. So,
oh, I see.
After well, it's much after because he wasn't that old. Yeah. He wasn't born until 44. Yeah. But I know he had two daughters, and he basically forbid them from ever watching the show, you know. Because,
really?
Yes, yes. Wow. He was a devout Catholic, and the last thing he wanted was these kids to see that.
Oh,
you've ended the night. Yeah. Call me again maybe tomorrow night. All right.
Oh, okay.
Until then, that's a wrap. I'm absolutely out of time. So we thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls, and especially you for calling. We'll do it all again tomorrow night right here on WGN Radio.